Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is pig farmer and serial killer Robert Willie Pinkton from British Columbia, Canada. He terrorized, killed a lot of folks, a lot of women, six women, back in the late 2000s. And we're going to talk about his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. We are very pleased and honored to be joined by a man of great distinction, a very talented young Casey. How are you today, Casey?
Good, Tim. You started off with distinction there. I thought you were going Chuck on me.
No.
I thought you were going to Chuck.
You're a man of distinction. How are things down
in... I am distinguished.
A real big spender.
I am distinguished.
How are things down in Lexington?
You know, they're good, Tim. We
have a lot of listeners down there that way.
It's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. And
now, how far are you from Beaver? Where's Kim Taylor?
Beaver
from?
Dam?
Beaver Creek.
Beaver Dam, Beaver Creek.
Beaver Dam. I'm not sure where Beaver Dam is.
Yeah. Okay. It's in Kentucky, though. Kim Taylor.
It's a big state.
Yeah, it is.
I want to say it's in eastern Kentucky.
Oh, well.
Well, that's where
and that's why we don't really know where it is.
Yeah. I like the name.
Yeah.
Beaver.
Yeah, Beaver is always a good name.
Kind of like Big Bone Lick.
We do have a big bone lick right up here. It's a big park.
State park.
They got bison there.
At what?
Big Bone Lick, they got bison. Buffalo.
I think so, they had bison.
Beaver Dam, Kentucky.
Mm. Beaver Dam is south of Owensboro.
Okay. Oh. Well, I think that's where Kim Taylor's from, isn't
it? It is.
Okay.
She's from Arkansas.
So I know that.
Shout out to
where she's living now, is in Beaver Dam, Kentucky.
So I was wrong. It's in the western part of the
state. Shout out to Kim Taylor.
So any stalker listening,
we'll be able to
Kim Taylor's in Beaver Dam.
If you want her address, we'll throw that out there shortly.
So welcome, Casey.
Kim, I hope you're a UK fan.
You know, I am not, but you know what? I've got a degree.
No, I said
you.
Kim.
Oh, Kim.
Kim.
Oh, I'm sure Kim is.
From Beaver.
No, I think Kim is
nobody gives a shit about your stuff.
Yeah. I think Kim is a Alabama fan, isn't she, Charles?
I believe she's an Auburn fan, Timmy.
Okay, well,
she's an
thing.
Auburn fan.
It's all Southern stuff. Brandy, we'd like to introduce our very talented and lovely Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Satan's Dirty Little Secret. Brandy, how are you?
I am great. How are you today?
Well, fine. You look very excited to be here. Are you looking for Pokemon? Are you looking for Pokemons?
No, because I'm not 10.
Well,
so I'm good.
You're on your phone. You look like you're looking for Pokemons. You keep moving
around.
No,
I'm doing various and assorted useless things.
Candy Crush.
Yeah, Candy Crush. Okay, so close. You know, wouldn't want to accuse you of doing something mature like Pokemon.
Right. Thank you.
We're also joined by one of your favorite people, Brandy.
I doubt it.
A man who...
He doesn't look like David Duchovny at all.
A man who is, greatly admired... he has a whole, just a slew of followers. He's got a whole army of people now on Team Colonel.
And they're quite lovely.
And many of them are attractive.
Scott, you're not that lovely, but you're a loyal follower.
And that is the very distinguished Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Wonderful, Timmy. I'm wonderful.
You excited about doing another serial killer?
I love, you know, I love doing serial killers because I know Dottie loves serial killers, Timmy.
And you know,
and anything that's gonna please Dottie.
Now, had we
me.
Known that Brand, or had we known Casey here, we could have done something a little bit more highbrow.
Well, yeah, but we couldn't.
You still have to dumb it down.
We got to dumb it down
for the lowest common denominator.
Yeah. And since I want to just update listeners.
You fucking cocksuckers.
And that was kind of a good example. Since our last episode, when I tried to, as Tanner said, don't fight hate with hate. Fight hate with love.
Well, you know, Tanner was correct. We gave him a hard time. You know, she.
It hasn't worked, Timmy.
Well, you need patience, Colonel. You need patience.
Timmy, I don't know what more I can do. And plus, I got that stab wound in my pancreas now.
Tanner has the patience of, you know, Martin Luther King. He really is a patient. He's the patience of Gandhi.
Well, yeah, Tanner, you know, it's funny. Tanner is probably the most shadow man I've ever met. He's a nice dresser.
Thing to say.
He's a smart boy. But he tells me, here's a funny story. Taylor has this.
I got another story. I love Chuck stories. I should make popcorn for Chuck stories. We could sit around and be like Stephen King reads the phone book.
Tell
me more stories, Chuck.
Taylor is a philosophy major, of course.
Uh-huh.
Taylor has very deep thoughts, and these
like
thoughts
Jack Hanley.
Tend to get much, much deeper when Taylor is under the influence of THC.
Uh-huh.
And so. Tanner calls me and I'm like, "Hey, how you doing, buddy?" He was like, "I was doing great. I figured I'd go hang out with Taylor." That's his twin brother. He's like, "I figured I'd go to hang out with Taylor for a while." And I walk up to his house and I'm like, zippity doo dah, in a good mood. Then I walk out realizing the free will is just a myth. We have no free will because Taylor convinced him. He gave him one of his philosophy things, how he had, there's really no free will, that your brain's programmed to act in the way it's going to act, and it's all basically predetermined by whatever. And so that's, you know, then when he woke up the next day, when he wasn't high anymore, Tanner wasn't depressed because, you know, he realized that Taylor wasn't making a damn bit of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, Tanner is he's a smart kid, but he was wrong. I mean, that's all I can say. So far, your social experiment on, as he didn't call, but I'll call it taming the shrew.
I tried to tell you it wasn't going to work.
And Casey, I can't imagine. I mean, myself personally, I can't imagine. And I love my brother. I love my brother, but he's dead.
He is dead. Deader than 4 o'clock.
God
rest his soul.
If I could pick another brother, I would pick Casey.
Because your mother's dead too.
I would pick Casey as my brother, and I can't.
That means my time on earth is.
Yeah. So Godspeed with that.
But. So how the devil can't think, you know, if you think Casey's a bad person, see, maybe there's something wrong with you.
I don't think Casey's a bad person.
And as you...
Who the fuck said that I thought Casey was a bad person?
I started watching Justified.
Oh, yeah, it's the shit, isn't it?
And as the guy said...
Excuse me, we have a podcast.
Okay, but as the guy said on there, if you bite somebody one week,
we can at least have a pretense that we're doing a podcast.
And you bite somebody the second week,
we're gonna have a subject.
You're gonna be known as a biter.
Yes, you will be known as a biter.
You're a biter, devil. So let me jump in and say hello to some people.
Biter. What?
Kim Taylor. First, let me apologize to your little children for calling them demons on the previous podcast. They're not demons. They're just spirited little children.
Dirty little urchins, as I've heard you use that term before.
Spirited children. So I apologize. They're lovely children. Carla, keep us updated on the man search. Tiffany, hello to you. Bree, hello. How you doing? My trusted aide. Really, the king's hand, right hand, left hand, really the king's wallet, Shannon Rossett.
I think Scott's more the king hand kind of guy.
Yeah, but Shannon's in control of the money.
She's got all the keys. She's a master of coin.
Yeah, master of coin.
Yeah, she's the master of coin.
And Scott is your king's hand.
And
she's
I got
Master Coin.
Nicola. Nicola. Nicola.
Careful.
Nicola.
There you go.
She's a barster.
Yeah. And
solicitor, if you will.
Sarah Spaghetti.
She could get us out of trouble.
She can, or
you, because you sure as shit can't.
And I'm going to lump these two ladies together, these fine, lovely Irish ladies, Tara Nee and Frances. We had a lot of listeners in Ireland, Timmy, probably because they're drunk most of the time, and they don't really care much what they listen to. Trish Hillard. I believe I got everybody covered. Now, I did have a man, and I do not know his name, Timmy, a Mr. Stewart, who sent us an email asking if I would officiate an online marriage for him.
Mm-hmm.
I would happily do that if we would provide the details. We'll Skype it. We'll do whatever we need to do. Now, I'm not sure that across international boundaries this is either legal or ethical, but I will do it.
Well, they I think in return they should Skype the honeymoon.
Well, I think they should at least
quit the honeymoon,
right? Yeah. Yeah. The colonel don't ask. I'm doing this for free.
Right.
So, yeah, make a donation.
Quid pro puss.
And I, and of course, we have the two grand ladies of the podcast. We have Lady Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
And who am I? Do I even have to say her name, Devil?
No.
Do I even have to say her name, Timmy?
No.
It's Casey, who am I about to give a shout out to?
Dottie Scott.
Yes. And we would also like to thank those who have been supporting our show. We really appreciate it through Patreon. Alicia and Chip, thank you very much for your support. Bridget and Cindy Lou, thank you very much for your support. We really appreciate it. There's costs involved with this podcast. Not a great deal of cost, but there is some cost involved. So those of you who support it, we really appreciate it. Brandy, do you have any shout-outs?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know if you may got her or not, but Cindy Lou, Amber, Lisa Spriggs, Marvin.
Is it Cindy Lou Who?
Marvin.
Not Cindy Lou Who. Cindy Lou.
That's what we call her,
funny. Cindy Lou Who.
She's funny. Marvin, Celine, who evidently is my sister from another mister. And Jim Barron, we got Casey for you today, just for you.
And I'd like to give a shout out to Larry. Larry's always very active.
Oh,
and feel free for more people to join Team Casey and, out there.
So you're recruiting.
Yeah, recruit.
Really, actively. You're actively recruiting?
Actively recruiting.
And Amber Croup with your peanut butter pie.
I think people want
there's to see
Amber. I said Amber.
I think it's your picture here, Casey.
I said Amber.
Oh, you got
to post a picture of Casey on the History Dreams, the podcast page, for those of you who haven't seen Casey.
And I don't normally have a beard, but I've been lazy about shaving. So
we'll post that. Okay. All right. Any more shout-outs before we jump into the story?
I think we got everybody.
Okay. Let's talk about Robert Willie Pinkton, the pig farmer who turned into a serial killer. Willie. Little Willie.
Oh, it's hotter than Satan's outhouse.
It's hotter than the devil's hell.
It's very warm in there. So.
It's the devil's playground.
Yeah, she's comfortable in this.
No.
So, anyway, Robert William, or Willie, Pinkton was born on October 24th, 1949. As you know, Colonel, right before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Did they call him Big Willie?
Well, not when he was little. In Port, I'm going to screw this name up. Coquitlam, I think it's actually right. Port Coquitlam, British Columbia, Canada, and Great Northwest, which is near Vancouver, and which in Vancouver is where most of his victims lived. He was a he grew up on a pig farm, and he inherited it when his parents died. Him and his brothers and sisters sold that pig, portions of that pig farm for a lot of money, and he became a millionaire overnight. And when he got that money, he got into drugs and ended up killing prostitutes that he had picked up in Vancouver.
So there's big money in pigs, Timmy.
They are. But let me tell you a little bit about young...
did he bring home the bacon?
He did.
Quick interesting fact. When you hear the term pork belly, mm-hmm. they're talking about the whole pig.
Okay, I didn't know
Not
that.
Just the belly?
Yeah, they're okay. talking about the whole pig. When you talk about trading futures and whatnot, mm-hmm. pork bellies are the whole pig.
Okay.
That was interesting.
Yeah,
that qualifies as interesting.
Yeah, it's probably interesting in Iowa or someplace.
Or, you know, any place but in this room.
Yes. So he was eventually charged with the death of six women. And I said most of them were from Vancouver's east side, which is where kind of the bad end of town where a lot of the prostitutes hung out. And but he got off on 20 other possible charges. Police think he's police thought he was responsible for as many as 49 murders. And he said,
but who would know?
Well, he wanted to, it was important for him to get 49 murders because he wanted to have one more than, I guess, Gary Ridgway, which was the Green River murderer.
Man got to have a goal, Tim.
Yeah, well, he claims he killed 49. He wanted to hit 50, but they got him before he could hit 50. He said
Son
he got,
of a bitch.
Said he would have hit 50, but he got sloppy. So I don't know if that was a pig farmer joke or just, you know.
Did he make his victim squeal?
He got sloppy.
Yeah. He really said that. And it's a pun. It's him. So anyway, Robert Pinkton was born on October 24th, 1949, like I said. Not a lot is known about his life growing up. His family, his parents were pig farmers. They come from three generations of pig farmers over 120 years of raising pigs.
That's a lot of hogs.
That's a lot of hogs. By the time he was arrested, though, he had largely given up the pig farm. They were just living off the profits of the land that they sold. But he did have a few pigs around, including one big boar that we'll talk about in a little bit later on. But Pinkton was not popular as a child because he did not have good hygiene. And because he had displayed creepy behavior at school. He had an irrational fear of taking showers or baths. So,
you know, he worked on a pig farm?
Yeah, he didn't.
Willie should take a shower.
Big Willie should take a shower.
Big Willie, yeah.
Little Willie should give Willie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta clean that up.
But when he was growing up, he had a pet calf named Elsie. And when he was 12 years old, the calf was found slaughtered on the family's property.
Oh.
Yeah, so the suspicion was, although he was very upset about it, the suspicion was from his family that Willie was the one responsible for the killing.
Fucking Willie. Big Willie or Little Willie?
Big Willie. Willie was abused by his parents, by his father. He was getting regular beatings. And he would take to hiding in the carcasses of dead pigs.
Well, nobody will find him there.
Yeah. Or at least
that's the last place you usually look.
Was that one of those, the beatings will continue until morale improves?
Yeah, that type of thing.
And I'm tired. That's a crutch.
Everybody's I'd almost rather take the beating than crawl up in a carcass of a pig. But Willie didn't. So we're going to call him Willie. He goes by both.
Big Willie.
See. So his mother, and this is kind of cool. When he was 14 years old, him and his mother were, and his brother David, were driving along, and they ran over a kid.
Huh.
And the mother got out of the car, went to check on the child, and then instead of getting help, she just rolled the child into a ditch.
So his mother did that?
Yeah, his mother did that. The child was rolled into the ditch. The ditch had some water in it. The child ended up drowning.
So the kid was okay if you could have.
Yeah, she had got
help. Me, drowned me.
But she, you know, she was late.
But you know, they probably had a Cub Scout meeting. They was late.
She was actually late for it or some event, and then she didn't want to deal with all the paperwork, I guess.
Drama.
So she rolled this kid into a ditch, and the kid died. The kid drowned, and no charges were ever filed against her. No one knew about it. But later, Willie, when he was busted, He
ratted on her.
Yeah, he ratted long after she was dead. He never had a girlfriend, but he had
because he didn't bathe.
Yeah, well, yeah, that kind of hurts his chances, I guess. But in his early 20s, if you don't bathe, the best you can do is a pen pal, and he got one, and he was engaged to a pen pal named Connie, who lived in Iowa, but they were engaged by mail.
Sure.
But
The relationship ended because neither of them would leave where they were at to meet up. So
they probably should have worked that out before they got engaged.
Well, perhaps, maybe she. I kind of think she'd been disappointed when she met him, but you I don't know if he became a millionaire. She probably, you know, maybe it
could have dealt with it.
Yeah, maybe it was. But at that point, he wasn't a millionaire.
But again,
would you deal with a devil? Would you deal with a pig farmer who was a millionaire who didn't bathe?
Of course she would.
Of course she would. She gonna be married to Lanny and only working 12 hours a week, and he ain't gonna bathe.
Pet boys.
Yeah.
He's got greasy fingers.
So the answer is yes.
I think that's implied.
Yeah. He's a crack addict. She don't care.
Speaking of which, as a young adult, Willie began to drink a lot and started to develop a drug habit.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
he would become addicted to crack cocaine.
Oh! Mm-hmm. Crack kills.
Crack is whack.
Crack is whack. Willie started visiting prostitutes, but had no other significant relationship. He had a history of...
Did you ever meet him at the meetings, too?
I have not. No, we never ran into each other. I never went up to Vancouver. So he had a history of violence and sexual assault against women growing up.
So after his parents died, the Pinktons had largely given up using the farm for actual farming and only raised a few pigs to sell to friends and neighbors. Willie and his two siblings, David and Linda, inherited the family pig farm where Robert later committed all of his murders.
His brother and his sister lived on that farm, and a lot of shit goes down there, but there's nothing I could find in research about either one of them being charged for a thing, but they had to know some of this stuff was going on.
The farm was a creepy-looking place and was patrolled by a 600-pound boar named Oscar. Oscar was one of the few remaining pigs on the farm.
Oscar's a big sweetie.
He was known...
Pig voice?
No.
He was known to chase and...
My dog voice.
He was known to chase and bite people.
Motherfucker, 600-pound like boar can run in and bite you, man. Yeah.
What, don't those things have tusks?
Yeah. That's why,
they
know...
They do more than that. Yeah.
Go ahead, Colonel.
Huh?
Did you have a thought?
I do have a thought. And I'm going to tell you how bad pigs are. Pigs are mean. Pigs are callous. Pigs are... Now, I went down to my girlfriend's uncle's house in Russell Spring, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And he owned a pig farm. And now, the problem with pigs is, okay, if they got the balls,
they
won't eat. They just want to go around humping the sows all day.
Right.
So you got to cut the balls off to kill that sex drive. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they...
That'll do it.
They line up about 100 pigs, and he's going to show me how to neuter pigs.
Yeah, I think you've told this story.
I was here last time he told this story.
Okay, so anyway, the point being, when you throw the pig balls down on the ground...
And he continues, yes.
The other ones will eat the balls.
Yeah.
That's what a pig... Now, even the most... It takes a rare human being to cut off somebody's balls and eat them. And I'm not saying they don't exist, but it's not commonplace.
Right.
Amongst pigs, they will fight each other for the castrated balls.
Yeah.
They're not a good animal.
Even though they're in line getting ready to get the nutted.
Smart.
Even after
they taste good fried up in a pan.
Because bacon tastes good.
Bacon is fantastic.
Yeah, but the balls are hard. They're like little rubber marbles.
What did they taste like when you ate them?
They didn't have a lot of flavor to them.
You ate them.
Well, you gotta add salt.
You
put them on
it. You tried them.
Maybe throw on some Tabasco sauce or something.
Pig's balls.
Well, they were battered and deep fried. I mean, I didn't pick them up off the damn ground. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, you put a little salt, pepper on it.
Yeah, what were you doing? You gotta give it some.
It's
flavor.
Harder than hell to get them with a fork.
Are they
chewy?
You
gotta eat them with a spoon.
Are they chewy?
Yeah, they're very chewy.
I still think it's like bacon.
I guess if you marinate them for a while, they'd be softer.
Pig balls could probably be very good if they're at all like bacon, which they should be because it's the same animal.
It's big.
It's big.
Yep.
And bacon is delicious.
But I digress.
Casey.
Okay, so anyway, the Pinktons' only vehicle was a converted bus with deeply tinted windows to which Willie was emotionally attached.
Did they hand out butterscotch?
He was emotionally attached to it.
Did they hand out free puppies? Butterscotch discs? Chuck?
Lordy.
They're talking about your brother in your creepy kidnapper van. You should pay attention.
And
my brother?
His brother's dead.
God bless his soul. God bless his.
In 1994 and 1995, the siblings sold part of their inherited land, earning a total of $5.16 million.
Oh, there's $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think about it. Your poor kid growing up on a farm, you don't have anything, you're called stinky because you don't bathe.
But that's a him problem.
And in your, well, you've already is. Developed a kind of a little crack habit, and all of a sudden you've got $5.6 million.
It's party time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Isn't that what happened to Whitney Houston?
Yeah, exactly.
Party time. In 1997, Willie was charged with the attempted murder of a prostitute named Wendy Lynn Estetter.
Estebin.
Estetter. E-I-S-T-E-T-T-E-R. Did you know her?
No.
Okay. Having tried to stab her, but the case was dropped because prosecution felt the victim, who was a drug addict, was too unstable to give an accurate testimony, even though both victims,
crack
both
whores,
the victim and Pinkerton,
one of the suffer. Things that,
crack whores are not good witnesses.
Yeah, one of the things that the Vancouver police took a lot of heat over with in this case is that they didn't follow up on leads, and because of the, you know, the victims,
yeah,
because these were these women that were just like no one, you know, they were kind of on the fringe of society. And they wouldn't. They didn't do a lot of follow-up, even though they knew something weird was going on with that farm.
During that attack, both Pinkerton and the prostitute had injuries, had stab injuries, and were treated at the same hospital. And a key to the set of handcuffs on Estetter's wrist was found in Pinkerton's pocket.
Yeah, I mean, what other evidence do you need? They're both in a hospital, cut up. She's got a handcuff on, and he's got a, you know, his pocket. He's got the key to hand.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, really. So I'm sorry.
It's not me. I don't know how it got there.
Man,
somebody must have put it there.
Don't look at me.
Willie's younger brother, David, on the other hand, also had a criminal record for sexual assault in 1988, so, and this, had also been sued,
yeah,
on three
winner,
occasions.
The whole family's
lady, yeah, this lady's raised some stand-up guys.
He'd been sued on three occasions for various traffic offenses. Though Willie was locally considered a quiet man, he and his siblings often hosted wild parties. Party at Stinky's. at a converted building near the pig farm called the Piggy Palace.
The Piggy Palace.
That'd make a good name for a brothel too.
The Piggy, not to be confused with Piggly Wiggly.
What was the name of that movie?
Piggly Wiggly.
Porky's.
Yeah.
In 1996, they also
at the Piggy Palace.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
They also founded a non-profit charity organization called the Piggy Palace Good Times Society.
Yes! That's the best name ever!
It's not that profit. That is awesome. The function of which was
they
listed.
They also have a Patreon page you can contribute.
The function of
Porky Pigs, good time. Good time, hang out.
The function of which was listed to organize, coordinate, manage, and operate special events, functions, dances, shows, and exhibits on behalf of service organizations, sports organizations, and other worthy groups. This came to an end after a New Year's Eve party. That's the day before
New Year's.
Yeah. So, Brandy. The 31st.
Almost directly after Christmas, just a few days.
December 31st. But it's right before the first day of the year.
Yeah,
right.
The Pinkerton siblings were sued for violating zoning laws and legally forbidden from holding any more parties.
No more. So the Piggy Palace was shut the fuck down.
No more good times.
That's really a shame because it was a non-profit.
It was a 501c.
Yeah.
The Piggy Palace Good Time Society was. Can we get a sign or something that made?
I think
made
I'll get T-shirts.
The Piggy Palace.
Good
What's the name of it? The Piggy Palace
Good Time Society. Was
the PPGS
was disbanded soon afterwards in January of 2000 for failing to provide mandatory financial statements. Willie and David were also property. Were also the proprietors of P&B Salvage. Near Vancouver.
They had a lot going on.
In 1999, Canadian police received a tip that Willie kept human flesh in freezers on his property. Although a warrant was secured, no search was ever carried.
So they got the search warrant, but just they didn't do the search.
Well, one step.
It was right around a holiday and shit to do.
I mean, that's the thing in this whole case.
Well, I mean, how could anybody do anything bad at the Piggy Palace Good Time Society?
Right.
I think the name says it all.
I mean,
right.
I'm not going.
It's benevolent. You know that what they're up to. It's benevolent up there, but...
PPGTS, that's what it is. PPGTS.
I want a t-shirt.
I'm loving that. I'm a fan of that. I think we should have a field trip.
I will go.
Let's see. Over the course of the next 3 years, women who visited the farm eventually went missing. On February 5th of 2002, Willie and David Pinkton were arrested when police, acting on a warrant for firearms violation, got a warrant and served that shit.
Have you seen this guy, by the way?
Yeah.
He really looks like a pig farmer.
Found personal belongings of a woman missing on the farm. After they were taken into custody, police obtained a second court order to search the farm as part of the BC Missing Women's Investigation. Personal items, including a prescription asthma inhaler, belonging to one of the missing women were found on the farm, which was sealed off by members of the joint RCMP, Vancouver Police Department's task force.
Royal Canadian Mounted Police, I think.
Probably. Not to be confused with the GGTSP or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened is when they lost it, their parents died. The parents knew how to run the farm, but when the parents died, they didn't know how to run it, so they just started, it was a big party.
So they just,
They didn't know how to run a business.
Well, so, anyway, the following day, Willie Pinkton was charged with storing a firearm contrary to regulations. Possession of a firearm while not being a holder of a license, and possession of a loaded restricted firearm without a license. He was later released and was kept under police surveillance. A second court order was obtained to continue searching the farm as part of the British Columbia Missing Women's Investigation, which Tim has clarifying here, investigates the disappearance of women.
Well, that's
in the area.
But see, it says the BC. Is that just women that
it's British Columbia
before Christ?
British Columbia.
Close.
Oh,
it's
okay.
British Columbia.
British Columbia. Okay, I thought they was going back to ancient times.
No, those leads have all gone cold.
That means before Casey. It's not before Christ. It's before Casey.
It's a whole province up in Canada.
That would really be a cold case.
It would be a cold
before
case.
Before Christ, yeah.
All right, so they investigate, again, like Tim pointed out, they investigate disappearance of women. Many from Vancouver's downtown east side, dating back to September of 1978. That of Lillian Jean O'Dare.
Lillian cannot
leave the house. Lillian cannot use the phone. Let's see. Pinkton would have been 28 years old at the time that this lady had been killed. Also known as the Low Track, it's the poorest neighborhood in all of Canada and is riddled with drug trafficking and prostitution. It also boasts the highest rate of HIV infection in North America.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of. Something to hang your hat on.
Damn. Mm-hmm. The woman who's...
Have you been there?
No, nothing to make it.
The woman,
Jesus Christ.
The woman whose possessions were found on the farm.
I don't know every whore in the world, okay?
But you're trying.
But
I'm sociable.
But you're still young, Timmy. You're still young.
He's sociable.
Still got time.
I'm a nice guy. I go out and meet people. Let's see. All right. God damn it. Okay. So.
He's sociable and he's got the internet. So.
Yeah, so what else do you need? The women whose possessions were found...
Backpage.com.
Wow. On the farm is one of the women whose disappearance was investigated by the task force, which is headed by officers from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Very good.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, they got this when did you say this was in 1999 or something?
In their quadrant somewhere.
Yeah, it was like, but it's like 3 years before they do anything about it.
Well, so anyway, so they're Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Vancouver Police Department. As they searched the grounds, they found remains of some victims, such as skulls cut in half and stuffed with human hands.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And feet. That's nasty.
Nice.
DNA from 33 women.
Jesus.
Bloody clothing belonging to a victim and a jawbone and teeth belonging to one victim.
DNA from 33 women. You know where else you can find DNA from 33 women?
Tim Sheets.
Exactly.
I was going to say ceiling.
Windows. His headboard.
They also found a .22 revolver with a dildo attached to its barrel. Yes.
Well, where else would it be attached?
I don't know. You know.
Was he using it as a silencer?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Yeah, he really was.
Was he really?
He was using it for a silencer.
Wonder if that works.
You'll find out.
Okay.
You can't use the glass ones, Devil.
No, those those will cut your hand.
The jelly ones are okay.
Yeah, the jelly ones.
The .357 Magnum rounds, two pairs of faux fur-lined handcuffs, and no stalker case kit is complete without a pair of night vision goggles and photos of a garbage can containing the remains of a victim.
Casey, you have night vision goggles.
I'd rather not say.
Okay.
No.
Do you have a...
I have night vision goggles.
Do you have a dildo silencer?
You're a stalker.
Dildo, no. Yes, I have a dildo silencer.
You know what? I seen these things...
It's called a sock in her mouth.
It's called...
Really? Really?
Hold on, repeat that. Some of us might have missed
they it. They can rewind.
Really, Casey? Jesus. Your mother will be proud.
Quaaludes work just as well.
God. Yeah, okay, Cosby. Simmer down.
Why don't you just hit him in the head with a rubber mallet, for Christ's sake? I seen this thing on Gear Tech. And it was night vision goggles. It was only like $12. I thought, no, you can't really make night vision goggles for $12. I'll be damned. These some bitches work like you would not believe. I mean, everything's green.
How
you
have
see.
You not been investigating? I mean, you have like this endless supply of butterscotch discs. You've got night vision goggles.
I like a bus that he's romantically attached to.
I mean, come on. How do you not have...
I guess here's what I don't understand.
Well...
For under $20, why doesn't everybody have night vision
goggles? Well, it's making it easy.
Because
you know
we don't have a need for them.
You get a possum or a raccoon in your backyard, you got to be able to find the son of a bitch.
Oh, I don't know. I have boys for that, and they need to just go out Darwinism.
Yeah, I don't. So I see. You get the night vision goggles, and they're necessary.
Then you look like Buffalo Bill walking around.
It doesn't matter. When the end times come, I'm going to be able to see you're not. Okay. If the people in England would have had night vision goggles, they wouldn't have got run over by the goddamn cars so much
during the Blitz.
During the Blitzkrieg. Yeah. So I'm just saying, if you don't have. Women and children can be careless, okay? Men cannot be careless. I learned that from Don Corleone. I have night vision goggles.
I, what?
Okay.
What I...
Do you have night vision goggles?
I know.
What is wrong with you?
I have chloroform. Why do you need both?
Good point. Yeah, you need to expect some Black Hawk helicopters at some point around your house, sir. All right, so they got all these bloody clothes.
It becomes overkill after a while. It really does.
Maybe it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Exactly.
All right.
Or women in a barrel, either one.
Oh, yeah, Willie claimed that the dildo
which had the DNA of both him and the victim on it.
Yeah. Oh. What? Well, hopefully it was.
So Willie, no, Willie was sticking it up his anus.
Oh, Timmy, you don't know.
He could
that.
Have been putting it in his urethra.
He
you
was pegging
know.
Himself.
Urethra?
Yeah, he was a fucking self-pegger.
How did he get a dildo in your urethra?
He was a. There's a lot of stuff that can go in there. You just don't know.
I've had a pencil in there before.
There you go.
But that was not sexual. That was just because I didn't have no place to put the pencil.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah. I love Aretha Franklin. She's
Aretha Franklin.
She but get, anyway, back
she can get a pencil in there.
Yeah, she got respect. But anyway, we were talking about I don't know you putting things in your anus.
There's
we
no
talking
reason.
About that? Why are we talking?
Okay,
about that?
There's no reason for males. Okay, yeah. That's exit only.
Right
now, females. We've talked about this before.
Oh my god.
It's the Swiss Army knife of holes, really.
Right.
I mean, you can store cocaine in it. You can have sex with it. You can do your bodily function with it. You can pass gas. I mean, it is the Swiss Army knife of body offices.
And all of those things have been done on Tim's asshole in the last 2 weeks. And you're looking at me and going, oh well, girls. This is for girls. No! This motherfucker here is muling shit all over the countryside.
You were detained, Timmy. You were detained.
And strip searched, I have no doubt.
Did they do a finger search?
They did a cavity search, didn't they?
That's not. I was detained.
Did
I
they
was
check
asked,
your prostate?
No, they asked me, where have you been? And I said, Colombia and Mexico. Did you have a good time? Yes. Okay, thank you. 35 fucking minutes to answer those two questions.
Yeah. Well, the whole time, what you may or may not have realized is the whole time there's a guy behind you
doing
peering in your butt cheeks with a flashlight in his mouth trying to get some...
Now, Casey, yeah. You over 40?
No. Yeah.
Okay, so you haven't had to have the prostate exam.
I have not had... I have had a...
Okay.
I have had
he does one. It for fun.
Yeah. It's just like, on Tuesdays.
This is what I learned. Is
well, you can do the prostate milking, you know.
See, that's the whole thing. Is that you want a doctor with short fingers, because if you get a doctor with short fingers, he's jamming all the way up to the elbow to get to that prostate. So you get a doctor with long fingers, but the problem with the long fingers, Timmy,
long fingernails,
is if they hit the right spot, all of a sudden. The mask goes up.
Well, and then you got those pricks that want to insert too.
Yeah. Well,
I had a prick that wanted to talk to me about, like, hey, how's the day going? You know, what are you up to? And all the time he's up
pretty tight back
around.
There.
Yeah. Well,
I told him I was about ready to piss myself. I was like, if you don't get out of there, I'm gonna pee.
What disturbed me is I could see his one hand, and then his phone rang, and he answered it. I was like,
well, excuse me, I've got to take this.
Yeah, I got to take this. And I'm like. Hold on, that's not... Well, I see your hands. What you doing there? But,
see, I just look for a gyno with palsy. So I go for the older man.
Well, you know, it's anyway, that can happen to men is you get a prostate exam, they touch the right button, and all of a sudden, choom.
I thought I was going to pee.
And then you got to tell them, you know, I don't really like that.
You know they already know that, right?
And the other thing...
I didn't know it.
But let me tell you this.
Did you ever think that you may were just turned on?
Yeah, that's the point.
I think you might have been.
Yeah.
You need to
explore that side of yourself.
The secret is he wasn't at a doctor's office when this was done.
Right. He's at a Greyhound bus station. No restroom. He was trying to catch a cab.
I was at the little clinic at Kroger just getting a flu shot.
Yeah.
Which is... A quick thing, Timmy. You know I told my
God,
my
damn it.
My hip flexor, right?
Yes, and the lady put it back in for you. I know.
And she checked his
massage. Yes, and she
but
did
the listeners
and she got a massage. You have to have heard the story.
And she checked his prostate.
They have, and they checked her prostate and sucked her dick and whatever else.
She tried to massage the
and you got a big old chubby.
I did.
But nobody noticed, so it didn't matter.
No.
You can't tell the difference.
Do you know what I was proud of?
That you got a chubby?
I was proud of, Casey?
That you could still get a chubby?
Did that towel lifted.
It didn't.
The towel lifted. Most men.
Did you do the towel trick?
The towel just goes. It was kind of like that. I'm laying on my back. She's massaging. All of a sudden, the towel didn't raise up to me. It flew across the room.
Okay.
You know the towel trick, don't you, Tim?
We got the towel trick.
You get a Woody and you put your towel over it, and then you go up to your wife or partner or whatever and go, hey, have you seen my towel? I don't know where it is. It's a classic.
And then it's hanging there like a hook at the Y.
It's a classic.
Okay, so Willie, and I hate to bring this back to where we are
talking about. You mean the story?
Yeah.
But let me just say.
Oh, well, good. So you got that.
Go ahead, please.
So Willie claimed the dildo, which has their DNA on it, as I mentioned before.
About 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, would you stick to
had that? Had been meant to function as a makeshift suppressor. The gun also contained a spent cartridge. While in custody, Willie Pinkton told an undercover officer posing as a fellow inmate that he'd wanted to kill one more in order to bring his victim count up to an even 50, suggesting that he is responsible for 49 murders.
Could you just give me a couple days and I'll come right back?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, my God. So a video recording of the statement was later used as evidence in his trial, which began on January 30th of 2006. On February 22nd, Robert Willie Pinkton was arrested and charged with two counts of first-degree murder in the deaths of Serena Abbotsway and Mona Wilson. On April 2nd, three more charges were added for the murders of Jacqueline McDonald, Diane Rock, and Heather Bottomley. A sixth charge for murder of Andrea Josbury was laid. What?
They call it laid. They lay in a charge.
Okay. On April 9th,
catching a charge.
I'm so glad you're such a worldly character.
He's a worldly
laying
motherfucker,
a charge,
isn't he?
Catching a charge. It's
like catching the clap.
Switching the glide.
Catching the clap's better than catching a charge because you can just get a shot for the clap.
I don't care.
You catch a charge.
I thought the clap stayed with you.
You got boils or whatnot.
So let's see. So the charge for Andrea was April 9th, and shortly was followed by a seventh for Brenda Wolf. On September 20th, four more charges were added for the slayings of Georgina Papin, Patricia Johnson, Helen Hallmark, and Jennifer Firminger. Four more charges for the murders of Heather Chinook, Tanya Holick, Sherry Irving, and Inga Hall were laid on October 3rd, bringing the total to 15, making the investigation the largest of any serial killer in Canadian history. On May 26, 2005, 12 more charges were laid against him for the killings of Kara Ellis, Andrea Borhaven, Deborah Lynn Jones, Marnie Frey, Tiffany Drew, Carrie Koski, Sarah DeVries, Cynthia Fleeks, Angela Jardine, Wendy Crawford, Diana Melnick, and Jane Doe. In parentheses, unidentified woman. So Timmy cleared that up.
You know what? Because what he was doing, I mean, what they think he was in, they put a media, what is it, ban on the story when it was going on, when they were investigating, because they found human remains in the pig pens.
Yeah.
So what they think that he had done was to feed the pigs the evidence, and then they sold those pigs to area restaurants.
It's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, but they didn't want the public to know about that.
I bet not.
So they put a media ban on this thing for several years before it came out. But a lot of it, too, was the fact that they were negligent in following up on a lot of the reports.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Colonel.
Okay, well, I had
one more. Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit, so don't work. You know, I got it. Brought the total number of first-degree murder charges to 27, Colonel.
Well, now, Robert Willie, Big Willie here, he pleaded not guilty to the 27 charges of first-degree murder, as most serial killers do. They plead not guilty. One of which was later rejected on the grounds of lack of evidence. Now, because of a publication ban issued by the court, not all of the details are publicly known about the proceedings. The 26 charges were split, so six of them, those of Marie, Marnie, Miss Fry, Georgina, Brenda Ann, Andrea, Serena, and Mona were processed first. According to the presiding judge, it was because all 26 charges would put too much strain on the jury and because the evidence in those six counts was materially different from the other 20. So on December 6th, 2007, the day before the colonel's birthday, a jury found Pinkton guilty of the six murders, which were reduced from first degree to second degree murder. Why that is, nobody knows. He was sentenced to life imprisonment.
There you go.
He was life.
Very close.
He was sentenced to life impermanent, life impressionist, which in Canada entails a possibility of parole in 25 years.
Well, what's the point?
Because those Canadians, you can't trust a Canadian.
You know what? Here's the thing.
They're not very bad mouth or Canadians.
They're
a lot of
very
Canadians.
Nice people. Yeah, I can't believe they
are nice people, but
I can't believe they have serial killers.
But they're like, you know, well, we only chopped up like 25 people, you know, maybe reformed,
I think like 75% of all serial killers are in the United States.
Oh, probably.
So he was in Canada, you can get out after 25, and it's the highest possible punishment for second degree murder. Essentially earning Picton the same punishment that he would receive for first-degree murder. Now, on August 4th, 3 days after my twin's birthday and 2 days after Mrs. Colonel's birthday.
Wow, happy birthday, Renee.
Oh, my God.
Miss Colonel gonna, say this, but August 1st is coming up on me.
Yes.
Miss Colonel gonna
it's
be.
It's 3 days before one of my brother's birthdays and 15 days. Before Casey's birthday.
Miss Colonel going to be 50
happy birthday, Casey.
And 22 days before my mother's birthday. And 6 days before my sister-in-law's
and
birthday.
And 248
it's
days
freaking
before
amazing.
Ours. Before ours.
Yeah, I know.
Mrs. Colonel going to be 50 years old this
well,
year.
Well, she looks younger than you.
Yeah, she
can't
does.
Hold. You married up.
She does
can't
look
hold,
young.
You can't hold a candle to
what
her.
What do you mean she looks younger? She is younger than me, for fuck's sake.
She looks a lot younger. She looks a lot younger, like 30s.
And he looks a lot older than
yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, clearly.
So anyway,
especially that beard makes him look like Santa Claus.
Casey, what do you think about the beard?
I'm just saying.
I think it looks fine. You look distinguished.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it gives me a my son Taylor I said told me it gave me an edgy homeless look.
avant-garde homeless look.
Avant-garde homeless look. Yeah.
Oh, sure. So, that's what you're going for. I'll throw a ham sandwich at you later.
Yeah, well, at this point, I'll take it. So anyway, three appeals have been filed since the British Columbia to the British Columbia Court of Appeal. Now, the first one made by the defense was rejected, and one made by the prosecution was allowed on the grounds that the trial judge, I wonder why the prosecutor would file an appeal, grounds that the trial judge had made a mistake in excluding some evidence and in splitting the charges. Picton, now, but you would have thought the prosecutor got what he wanted. But anyway, but Picton's defense then filed an appeal with the Canadian Supreme Court,
remember,
which was rejected.
Remember, they were getting under a lot of heat to solve those murders, and they were getting a lot of heat for not following up. So
yeah,
there was some political pressure there, I think.
So he's currently incarcerated. Now, as of 2015, a spokesman for the Crown stated that the other 20 charges are likely to be discontinued. Much like really the shoes you're wearing right now to me. likely to be discontinued.
Much like the food that you ate for lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Now, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Lean cuisine.
Right.
What does the Royal Canadian Mounted Police always do, Timmy?
Get their man.
They
or
get
woman.
Their man.
Snidely whiplash.
Mm-hmm. It's like raining men up there, because if they want them, they get them. And the Vancouver police have suffered some heavy criticism for the way they handled this case, and some justified criticism, because when you find a dildo with a bullet hole and DNA on it,
I think you got
to investigate
that. You
ought to look further into it.
And you got
attached to the end of a .22.
And you got a woman stabbed with handcuffs on. The guy's got the key in his pocket.
That's something.
Yeah.
You ask some probing questions.
You put two and two together.
Sometimes. Who me?
Who me?
What you talking
don't
about?
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me. I didn't do it.
Ask some probing questions
yes,
on that.
Need to probe on
now,
that.
Now, the
RCMP. With the dildo.
If need be. Yeah.
He was literally caught with a smoking dildo.
He was.
Nice.
He was.
So, anyway, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police have been called arrogant in Canadian media. And said not to work well in tandem with other investigative services, as exemplified during their turf war with the Canadian Security Intelligence Service during the investigation of the 1985 Air India bombing.
Don't you see them as like jets and sharks from West Side Story?
Mm-hmm.
But the police—they're always so stoic, and they always
you know what
so
I picture
on their horse.
Yeah, what?
One has green plaid jackets on, the other has red plaid jackets on.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
You ready
to
go at it?
Hey. Yeah.
Once you're a jet, like, once you're a jet, you're always a jet.
Or like in Bad. That's what I see.
Are you done, Colonel?
So the virtual.
I'm done.
Is he ever really
Timmy,
done?
Timmy, do you have to be somewhere?
It is getting late in the afternoon.
You haven't been here all week, for fuck's sake. It's not even too... It's not even 2 o'clock our time. But they've been roundly criticized.
Yes.
Now, because it's still open and officially under investigation, exactly how he killed his victims is not entirely known to the public, as is anything he might have done to them before killing them. Now, according to a witness on tape, Pinkton claimed that he brought his victims, who were prostitutes, to the farm, handcuffed them, raped them, killed them by strangling, bled and gutted them. Why you would do that? Oh, I know why you would do that. Okay. Ran them through a wood chipper, then fed their remains to the pigs.
Seems like overkill.
He's well, it seems like it could, really jam, your wood chipper, I would think.
Yeah. Now, most were fed to Oscar the boar. Another claim is...
Did they call him that because he wasn't very interesting?
Well...
Maybe he was at a trash can.
Yeah.
He might have been.
Well, another claim is that the victims were ground in the resulting minced mix with pork mince from the farm, and packages were given to families and friends as sausage.
Sausages.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't really know the difference.
Yeah, I think the outrage came because the people thought they bought pork that were fed. Human-fed pork, yeah.
Now, the Biography Channel said he just lured his victims to the farm using one simple ruse. He wanted to buy sexual favors. During sex, he would become violent and accuse the victims of something, such as stealing from him, in order to build up his rage. And, you know, there ain't nothing. I hate that when people are getting off, you know, you're having your intercourse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, people start getting cranky and mean.
Yeah.
And it might be
demanding that you untie them.
Yeah. Or stop hitting me
take the sock out.
You've been hitting me with a floppy for 10 minutes, you son of a bitch. Now cut it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and he wouldn't kill everyone. He would take some women have sex and just let them go. But,
yeah,
you know, some of them he would get this, all of a sudden get, angry and then kill them.
Now, he would then restrain them, kill them by strangling or shooting them through the dildo, and then butcher their bodies. Now, excavations and everything went on through November 2003, and the cost of this investigation is estimated to have been $70 million, according to the government.
And they had a lot of bodies they had to find, you know.
The property is still fenced in.
I think they had 100 archaeologists at one time working on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on that farm.
The property's still fenced off. You know what I never understand about archaeologists?
Right.
Haven't we found most of the shit we're going to find?
Apparently not.
Evidently not.
Yeah. Bodies are fine.
We've been looking for shit for... Well, I guess technology's gotten better, but I wish somebody found my car keys. That's what I wish.
They're like playing with bones.
I wish I was an archaeologist just so I could say I get... Because they get laid like a mother.
They do get laid a lot.
You can play with bones.
Yeah.
But, you know, people get killed a lot.
Yeah.
Because you exhume
somebody. Well, you got these great big balls rolling after you.
Yeah.
Your whip and you can throw it.
True. And then you have to swing over snake pits.
Get to wear cool hats.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with going over to snake pits. And the whip, you know, I got a whip.
I know you have a whip, yeah.
And I wear that.
Let it whip.
Sometimes I take that whip by. Sometimes I whip it good.
Wow, I'm sure.
And I put my night glasses on. My Devo hat. Take care of whatever critters are in the yard.
You use it on Mrs. Colonel a lot.
I do not use the whip on Mrs. Colonel, and I do not let Mrs. Colonel see the whip because time I have done that, I have come out the lesser for it.
You've regretted it.
I have regretted it, yeah. So during the early days of the excavations, forensic anthropologists brought in heavy equipment, including 2 50-foot flat conveyor belts, as opposed to 50-foot, I don't know. I mean, conveyor belts are always flat, aren't they?
Well, I guess they could have went out there like they were looking for gold with a little cup or something.
Yeah, no. And soil sifters to find traces of remains. On March 10th, 2004, it was revealed that Picton may have ground up human flesh and mixed it with pork they sold to the public, and the health authority just went batshit crazy and issued a warning to those who purchased meat from Picton. By that time, it was too late. In 2000, now jump ahead, to another claim was made that he fed the body directly to his pigs. During the course of the trial, Canadians heard details of what was found during the long investigation. Skulls cut in half, hands and blood stuffed inside, the remains of one victim found stuffed in a garbage bag, and a blood-stained clothing found in his trailer. Part of another victim's jawbone and teeth found beside Picton's slaughterhouse, and a .22 caliber revolver with an attached dildo. As we said,
everyone should own one.
In a videotaped recording played for the jury, Picton
dildos don't kill people. People kill people.
Exactly. Now, jump ahead, 2016. Archaeologists. Now, this has been a cold case for a long time, but they kept archaeologists sifting. Do you know what they found on this farm?
What did they find?
Four Pokemon.
Really?
Four Pokemon on his farm.
We're worth $75 million.
Yeah. They found four Pokemon now. So.
All right. So that was Robert Picton, the serial killer pig farmer. Brandy, what is your any final thoughts on Robert Picton?
Is Chuck going to be quiet now?
Yes.
Those are my thoughts.
That's your thoughts. Any thoughts on the pig killing the pig farmer?
He's smelly.
He was smelly.
That's really, that's all you got to
say? Do you think he ever banged the pigs?
That's why I bet he was smelly.
Guaranteed.
You think so?
He was banging
the pigs. Anybody who's a pig farmer is a pig fucker.
No.
Well, no, it's not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. It's not mutually exclusive.
Can you be a pig farmer and not a fucker, but you can't be a fucker without being a farmer? Which one is it?
Okay.
What came first?
But you can make they really squeal.
It's like an algebra problem.
It's not, but go ahead.
All pig fuckers. Yeah. But all pig fuckers are pig farmers.
P right. does not equal PF.
Right. What about P not?
Not is not.
Although there is David Cameron, the Prime Minister of England. He wasn't a pig farmer, but he was a pig fucker.
I don't know about that.
Really? Okay.
Apparently, in his college days, he stuck his wiener in a cut-off head of a pig.
Really? That's fascinating.
You got nothing.
It's a smart move. It's a smart move to have to feed your victims to the pigs.
Yeah, we said
we saw buying piglets.
Does anybody ever tomorrow. Here watch Deadwood? It was an HBO series. It was back in the 90s. The guy from Justified, I think, was one of the main characters. But there was a Chinese guy in that story that was friends with like guy who kind of controlled the town, and he would feed his victim. You know, when he killed somebody, they'd go get Wu, send him to the pigs, and they'd take
fucking Wu.
And do you know why they
fucking Wu?
And this is another fact.
And Wu couldn't talk, so they go, fuck Wu, what are you talking about?
Do you know why they use, you know, pigs are better than hounds or wolves or whatever?
Why?
Because pigs will eat the bones, too.
Yeah.
Pigs will bite right through the bone to get to the marrow to eat any. Yeah. Pigs can digest anything.
Well, what did the statistics say? It takes them 8 minutes to devour a human body?
One pig. And again, it depends on the human
that's a
body. It depends
human
on the pig.
And the pig.
Mm-hmm. And pigs.
Fascinating.
Pigs love eyes.
Uh-huh.
When I was actually down in Russell Springs, this is a true story when I was talking about
I don't
neutering
believe
pigs,
that you have any true
the
stories
the pig
left.
Farmer told me, he said, you know, pigs are they're dangerous animals.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if something happened to you out in this field that you were incapacitated and could not.
They'll eat your eyes out?
No, he said the pigs would eat you. This group of pigs would eat you. If you were out there and you could not get away from them, they would eat you.
But if they were miniature pigs, they're so cute. They would probably just love them.
But really,
but that's how they got the pot bellies from eating babies.
But really, don't we do the same thing to them?
No, because they know what's coming.
All right, Brandy, any final thoughts?
No.
Casey, what are your final thoughts on Robert Picton, Willie Picton, the pig?
Big
I think that he gave pigs a bad name. Porky Pig, I love that guy.
I love Porky too.
And they should.
What do you think? What was Porky's pig's girlfriend's name?
Petunia.
Do you think they were doing the nasty?
They were porking.
Guaranteed, they were porking. Yeah.
They were porking.
Do you think Porky Pig? And you ever seen a pig dick?
I would hate.
Do you think it's like their tail?
It is.
It's curled.
It's weird. And it's
I would hate
like
to
a
hear him do phone sex.
It's like the
take forever.
It would suck.
Take forever.
What's that?
Baby. Yes. All right. So phone sex with Porky Pig. Don't do that, Colonel.
Don't do that. No. I'm but hey, you know, you mentioned you love Porky Pig. Do you think Porky Pig is somewhere on the autism spectrum?
I think you're on the autism spectrum.
I don't know. Far left of the autism.
He never makes eye contact with people.
He snorts.
He stutters.
Yeah, Porky Pig doesn't snort that much at all. I don't think.
You don't learn him as well.
He stutters. Well, clearly.
And I believe Petunia could have done better.
Well, Petunia's options were a little limited. Well, that's like Pepe Le Pew. I mean, how many really?
Pepe Le Pew was a romantic.
Pepe Le Pew was a sex addict.
Yeah.
Pepe Le Pew was a sex addict.
Yeah.
And so he was not just going for the skunks. He's going outside the species. We're going for cats.
And he didn't take no for an answer.
No, he didn't. He's a stalker.
No did not mean no to that.
No. And you know what? He'd go after male bunnies, female bunnies.
Yeah. He didn't care.
I don't.
He was a player.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
That's right.
So, Casey, no final thoughts? Any other final thoughts?
Nope. That's about it.
Colonel, any final thoughts on Robert Pinkton, the pig farmer / serial killer?
Well, I think there's a lot to be learned from this, Timmy.
He seemed like he just went off the rail after he got money.
I think Chuck went off the rail 20 minutes ago.
No, I think there's a lot to be, you know, and again, that's why I have, you know, you guys don't have, I have full body armor. Mm-hmm. At my house.
And night goggles.
Night goggles. Because I do not want to get eaten by a pig.
And a van.
And a van.
And lots of candy.
Or right.
So I think he was your run of the mill serial killer. There was nothing special about him. It was a cool aspect that he was feeding them to the pigs, possibly. Made it much cooler if we could have proved that other people was eating his sausage.
Yeah,
that would have been a very good story.
It's happened either directly or indirectly.
Yeah, that's happening.
All right.
I wonder what happened to Oscar the Boar, though. We got to follow up and
they killed him.
Oh yeah, they ate his ass.
Okay,
chopping up into bacon.
Where can people find us, Casey?
The Twitter.
Find us on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1.
The iTunes.
iTunes, please leave us a review. We appreciate all the reviews that we get. We got 3 really nice reviews lately, so thank you.
The Stitcher?
One of them was from Cindy, so thank you very much, Cindy. You can find us on Stitcher? Yes. Yes, we are on Stitcher. And we are also on Facebook at History Dweebs. And we are also on the History Dweebs Facebook group, History Dweebs the Podcast.
Case, not this Saturday, it's the Colonel's graduation, but the Saturday after that.
It's the Colonel's graduation.
The Colonel's son's graduation party. Yeah. You'll be there, remember?
I didn't know when you were graduating.
Timmy won't be there. He's not pleased.
Logan, what's going on? Congratulations.
The following weekend on Saturday, myself and sweet little Georgia will be playing in a pro-am golf tournament down in South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
So
Does Georgia know that?
Oh, yeah. She knows. She's quite aware of it.
No.
So we're teaming up in a pro-am tournament.
She has people. She has people. You have to put it through to her people.
No, he's her caddy.
Yeah, he's her people.
Yeah. No, I got...
He is the caddy, though.
You think she could introduce him to Michelle Wee?
No, she's never met Michelle Wee.
How about Michelle Kwan?
That'd be fine.
No, neither one.
Michelle Bachman. Hell, I don't care.
Michelle Bachman.
As long as her name is Michelle.
Wow.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, Casey. Thank you for sitting in on these podcasts. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having me. It was a good time.
We look forward to having you on the show again real soon. Until then, we'll see you all next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Say goodbye, Brandy.
Bye, Brandy.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.